The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Hello, everyone. This is Ricky Scaprell. I'm the founder and the pastor of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. I hope the following message is a great word of encouragement and blessing to you and your family today. I want to take you in just a moment to Cordon, Indiana, where we ministered this Sunday morning live there in the sanctuary of Cornerstone Community Church. I pray that this message, again, is a great blessing to you. And don't forget to subscribe and follow our page there on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and also remnantrevival.org. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, good morning, everybody. We want to welcome our viewing audience that's coming on live here this morning. We are in Cordon, Indiana at Cornerstone Community Church. And this morning, we welcome all of you guys here that are present this morning here at the church. It's good to be back here at Cornerstone for our monthly gathering. This morning, we're going to be, just going to do a teaching today. Not going to spend a lot of time, give me about 30 minutes or so on this. I'm going to teach a little bit on a word that I put together this weekend that I felt like it was in my heart and my spirit. Again, we want to welcome all of our viewing audience there on End Time Headlines that will be joining us in the broadcast. I know we've got people all over the world, literally, that join us in these broadcasts. And we appreciate you taking out the time this morning to come on and join us. We hope that you'll be blessed by this this teaching from the Word of God. John chapter 3, guys, if you want to turn to John chapter 3, while you're doing that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word today, and I thank you that, Lord, your word does not return void, but it does what it is set forth to do. It equips, it edifies, it encourages, and it also brings correction. I thank you that it will bring fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold, Lord, to those that are able and willing to receive it today. We bind all assignments of hell that would turn our attention away from this morning's word and turn the attention to the minds and the spirits away from those who have received this word today. And we thank you, Father, for your anointing. We thank you for the Spirit of God that would rest upon this word today. Lord, get me out of the way that you can have your way today to equip your people and encourage them. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So John chapter 3. Very interesting scenario here. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a man of the Pharisees, according to John. He was the ruler. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man was well educated. He was well known in Judaism. He came to, according to the Word of God, he came to Jesus by night, in the stealth of the night. And the reason why he did this is because when Jesus would teach publicly, the opposition and the adversity that he would receive every time was not from the common people, but from the religious people. And it's still the same today. When the Word of God goes forth in signs, wonders, and miracles, it's usually the common folk that receive it. The common folk receive it with joy. The common folk get in on it. And the common folk receive it, and you'll see revelation break out among the people. But it's usually the religious sect, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law, denominations, whatever it may be, they're usually the ones that oppose the move of God or the Word of God or revival, because usually, most of the time, it's because it rocks the boat or it flips over their agendas. So this is no different in this scenario. Here is a religious leader of his day by the name of Nicodemus. He goes to Jesus in the stealth of the night. And the reason why he did that is he could not go in the day because he did not want to be seen by his brethren. And this man, Nicodemus, unlike many of the Pharisees, what he was seeing and what he was experiencing from the teachings of Yeshua or Jesus, it was piercing his heart. It was opening his mind. And he was receiving this. And it sparked an interest. So he goes to Jesus in the stealth of the night when nobody's around. Listen to what he says. He says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Now he says we here. Emphasizing that it wasn't just Nicodemus that had this understanding. But Nicodemus kind of put his neck on the line and he's like, look, I'm here representing the small remnant of us that acknowledge that you are from God. But the majority, read it in your Bible, the majority of the Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law, would say things like he's not of God, or he is operating from Beelzebub, or demons. It's there. But here is this remnant. It says, we know that you're a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, now listen to this, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again. I want you to say that with me. Everybody that's watching online here with the day. Unless one is born again. I want you to get this in your spirit. He or she cannot see the kingdom of God. Somebody say that. Say, they cannot see the kingdom of God. So now we have a scenario here that Jesus gives us. Number one, he said, unless you're born again, you're saved, you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, your name's in the Lamb's book of life, you will not be able to see the kingdom of God. Now, what does he mean? The word see here in Greek is perceive. And it means to see with the eyes, any means of senses to notice, to discern, and discover, to turn the eyes and the mind and attention to someone or something. So I'm going to read this again. Unless one is born again, they cannot perceive the kingdom of God. Amen. Now this should answer a lot of questions that we have today. Number one, this would explain why people that are unregenerated, they're not born again, when they see the kingdom of God in operation, they'll be quick to scorn it, they'll mock it, they'll ridicule it, and they'll blast it. Let me give you an example. They don't understand kingdom principles. When you start talking about, so when you start operating in kingdom principles in your finances, begin to get looks like you're a nut. You're going to give 10% of all your increase to the work of the kingdom? Come on. You're going to start sowing into the kingdom with your finances. You're going to start giving donations. You're going to start giving offerings. You're going to start honoring the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. Then you start talking about you no longer do things you used to do when you were not born again. Or when you were not born again. You don't hang around with the same crowds. You don't go to do the same things. You don't partake in the same events. You don't do the... It's when you're truly born again or born in the Spirit, there is a process that God begins to... Come on. It's called transformation. Amen. It begins to... We're going to use that word in just a second. But I'm going to tell you, not only are the people on the outside looking in, they cannot perceive the kingdom of God. They don't understand these principles because they're total polar opposite of the world. The world says the world has a cutthroat mentality, push everybody down and to get up the ladder. But Jesus said, he who humbles himself shall be exalted, and he who exalts himself shall be humbled. He tells the rich young ruler who is very wealthy and he's got much possessions, he says, and he comes to him and says, he says, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, you've done well. He says, have you honored the commandments? He says, oh, I've done them all since my youth. What did he tell him? He says, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and then, come on, then you will possess this. And the Bible says he walked away very sorrowful. Why? Because he couldn't perceive the fullness of the kingdom. Now that brings me to the second point. Notice that the rich young ruler obeyed the commandments. Let me break this in modern vernacular. He represents the Christian. Well, I go to church. I pay my tithes. I'm on whatever. I show up. I do my thing. Do whatever. But can I tell you something? Even among our own brethren, not everybody is on the same level. There can be 300 churches, and likely the reason why there is 300 churches in the square. When I lived in Cleveland, Tennessee, literally, I'm not kidding, there's over 350 churches in Cleveland, Tennessee alone. And when I began to research things and begin to evaluate things, the reason why that is because most, predominantly, is because most of the churches all believe in a different viewpoint of the other church. This church believes in the baptism of John. This church doesn't believe in the baptism of Jesus. This church doesn't believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This church believes in the gifts of the Spirit. This church doesn't believe that there is, that the gifts of the Spirit have been done away with. This church believes in this. And this, there's all these S-E-C-T-S, sects, and it's broken down. So if you want, you know, it's kind of like a buffet spread. There used to be and I don't know, you guys watching online, you may know what I'm talking about, and some of you guys here, but there used to be a hamburger joint in Louisville called WW Cousins or something like that, and it was a hamburger joint. And you go there, and oh, that's what they specialized was in hamburgers. So they give you a bun, they give you two buns and a hamburger, a patty, and then you have a whole smorgasbord of things that you can put on it. You can put lettuce, you can put tomatoes, you can put onions, you can put pickles, you can put peppers, you can put jalapeno peppers, you can put cheese, you can put 18 different kinds of cheeses on it, you can put all these things. And this is how many people view Christianity. God says, I've got all this for you laid out. Instead of taking the hamburger with all the fixings, they say, well, no. We're going to reduce it to a buffet spread. Well, Lord, I want eternal life, but I don't want that Holy Ghost stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, damn. Yes.
God, I want a good church service as long as they don't talk about God giving dreams and visions in the last days. I want a good church service, but don't preach on that end time stuff because that's not relevant and it's fear mongering. Huh?
Yeah.
So we've got, this is what we've created. This was never the intent of God. This was never the will of God for us to have these buffet spreads of Christianity. And sadly, a lot of these places, you know, you go in, and I'm just going to use this illustration again. You go to this hamburger joint, you know they're not going to have onions. They're not going to have, you know they're not going to have jalapenos because that's too hot. And people complain it's too much fire. Hello. But I don't know about you, but I want it all.
Amen.
And here's the thing. I want to be mature enough in the Lord that if I don't like pickles, I'm okay to pick them off.
Exactly.
I'll still eat it.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Amen.
But watch this. And that brings me to the next point. Watch this. Matthew 13. On the same day, this is Matthew 13, 1 through 11. I've got to read this. I'm going to show you something here. On the same day that Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him. Notice there was a great multitude, right? So there's all kinds of people. You're going to have all kinds of people, all kinds of flavors. Come on. All kinds of ethnicity, all kinds of ages. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some, and some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on stony places, where they didn't have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Do you see these four groups of people here? Okay? So you got the wayside, you got the stony, you got the thorns, and then it says, but others fell on good ground, yielded a crop, some 160 and 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then we go to verse 10. And then the disciples came and said, why do you speak to them? Somebody say them. In parables. He answered and said to them, because, I love this, because it has been given to you. Somebody say, it's been given to me.
Been given to me.
To know the what? What's your Bible say? The mysteries of the what?
Kingdom.
He didn't say the mysteries of God. He said to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, somebody say them.
Them.
It has not been given. Do y'all see this distinction between us and them? To us, who are born again, come on, of the Spirit of God, our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. To us, it has been given to know or perceive or to understand or unlock the enigmas or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. So, who is them? I propose to you, to them is not only, obviously, it's the unregenerated. We get that. Anybody can perceive that. We understand that. For those who don't know God, it says they are spiritually, the things of God are spiritually minded, and the natural mind receiveth not the things of God. That's what your Bible says. For their foolishness unto him. But again, we have people among us. And when the word, even today, we've got all kinds of people watching online. The word of God will go out, and based upon Matthew 13, only 25% of all the people that listen to this message will receive it, will obey it, and will produce fruit. But 75%, it will fall by the wayside, be choked out, or come on somebody, or the enemy will come and snatch it away. That's what your Bible says. Is that not sobering?
Yes.
Now, so you say, well, Brother Ricky, what's the key to receiving these mysteries of the kingdom, retaining it, obeying it, and seeing 30, 60, and 100 fold? Right here, it's the answer is in Romans 12. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12, right at the very front. Listen to this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So right off the bat, the Lord says the reasonable service is to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So it's impossible to walk in kingdom revelation while holding on to your life and your agenda and your purpose. Huh? What did Jesus say? It's interesting. I was studying this. I didn't put these in my notes, but the Bible says that when Jesus arrived to Caesar of Philippi, he first thing he asked him when he stepped there, he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, well, some say you're Elijah the prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist. Or some say you're another prophet of old. And he stopped them. Watch this. This is so cool, guys. He says, but who do you say that I am? In other words, it was irrelevant what they say I am. Golly, y'all got to get this. But he says, but it's important to know who you say I am.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
We will never walk in the fullness of God. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost talk about this. You'll never walk in the fullness of the Lord until you A, know who He is.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that bear the name of Christ. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians. There's a lot of people that call themselves believers. They go to church. They're church attendees. Come on. They're even on staff. They're on board. They're deacons. They're serving. They're whatever the case may be, they have positions. They have titles. But do they know Him?
Yeah.
And Peter says, I believe. that you're the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Mashiach. And he turns to Peter and he says, what you said is true. And he says, and this has not been revealed unto you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Did you catch that?
Yes, yes.
And as a result of it, his whole identity was changed. He got a new name, a new title, a new purpose, and then Jesus reveals to him basically that you're going to be a pillar in the New Testament church, Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if you're watching this live on Facebook or watching this today, you want to know who you are in Christ and your purpose and your destiny? Number one, you've got to have a true encounter with Him. An experience with Him. Get truly born again. Get into fellowship. Get into relationship with Him. Get to know Him. And when you get in the secret place with Him, He'll begin to reveal to you who you are in Him and your purpose for His kingdom. Quit trying to get the exception. Quit trying to get the acceptance of everybody else. Well, I want to see whatever. When the Apostle Paul had an encounter on the road to Damascus, the Bible says the first thing he did is he did not confer with flesh and blood. He did not confer with people, the brethren or the Jews of his time or the disciples. The Bible says he went to the mountains of Arabia. Galatians chapter 1 talks about this. He went there and he confined there for, he was there for 3 years. And you know what he was doing there? He was getting downloads from heaven of the mysteries of the kingdom. There's over 9 mysteries that he talks about in the New Testament. Alright? But here's the key. Romans chapter 12. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then we go to the second part of this. And do not be conformed unto this world. He's telling you, if you think you're going to receive the mysteries of the kingdom and still walk in the world, talk in the world, live like the world, act like the world, it ain't going to happen. You will be blown by every wind of doctrine, and you're going to be a statistic of the 75 percentile, and you will receive the word with joy for a season. But when persecution arises, when trials arise, come on, you'll be nowhere to be found. Where's so-and-so? Why aren't they in church? Well, they were doing good until the car broke down. You know how many people, well, I tell you what, brother, I'm excited. I can't wait to tithe. I can't wait to start giving to the Lord. And then what they don't understand is whatever area you start believing God in and stepping out in faith in is the area you're going to be tested in. Amen. Oh, you ain't hearing me today. Yeah, you start preaching on healing and you're going to walk to an infirmity. Yep.
Yes. Amen.
You start preaching on tithing and giving and how God wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot have room enough to receive, and He'll rebuke the devourer for your name's sake. You get up and you start preaching on that, I'm going to tell you, that's when all hell's going to break loose on your finances. That same week, you preach that on Sunday morning, by Tuesday, you find your refrigerator breaks down, you go to try to get it fixed, and you find out they ain't never seen nothing like this before. Your roof starts leaking. They give a recall on all 4 of your tires. You get a pig slip at your job, and you've been there and have more seniority than anybody else, and it don't even make sense why they're calling you to get laid off. And you know what people do? Well, that stuff don't work. And they get mad at you. I don't want to hear that stuff about tithing and giving. It don't work. Well, I'm here to tell you, after 19 years of serving the Lord, it does work.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm here also to tell you that you're going to be tried by your faith.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Yeah. I've walked out infirmities. But that don't mean God don't heal. You know how many people change their theology to accommodate their circumstances?
That's true.
I tell you what, God's the healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord God that heals. And then the moment they get an infirmity or sickness, and they don't immediately get a healing, and it goes on and it prolongs for a while, what are you going to do? You're going to capitulate? You're going to change your theology? No. Listen, well, you don't know what it's like. Yes, I do. I've been walking out a 2-year infirmity. And I already told the Lord, I don't care how I feel. It's irrelevant. Because the Word says, by His stripes, I am healed. Amen. It's done.
Amen and amen.
Oh, I feel Him, church.
Amen.
You could throw all this stuff at my finances, devil, but I'm still going to keep tithing.
Yes.
Listen, nowhere in the Bible did God reward apathy, but all through the Bible, He rewarded diligence.
Yes.
And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Yes.
So watch this. Don't be conformed to this world. Stop hanging around, listening to, and getting advice from wishy-washy, compromising, yellow, come on, lily-livered, spineless believers that don't even believe the Word of God.
That's right.
I made up my mind. I'm going to associate with people who have faith in God, believe in God, are walking in the Word. Come on, because I'm not going to have somebody pollute my faith.
No.
Listen, somebody watching by Facebook, the reason why you can't get victory and you can't get breakthrough in areas is because you're sitting in the council of the ungodly.
Yes.
And you're taking advice from all kinds of people and the Word, and it's not even in the Word. And even Christians are getting up. We got a lot of humanism behind pulpits today. And they'll preach to be a better you, but they're not preaching to be a better Him.
Amen.
We want, Jesus said, let me go back to Caesar and Philippi. So Peter gets a revelation of the kingdom. And then, immediately after that, he begins to expound, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, and be crucified and be put to death. Do you see this order here, guys? So there's a revelation of who He is. Then there's an identity change. And then immediately after that comes your walk. And in the walk process comes the trials of your faith. Comes the tribulation. Comes the valleys. Comes the storms. So Jesus began to say, the Son of Man is going to suffer these things. He's going to be put to death. He's going to be persecuted. And Peter, the same guy that just got this revelation of the kingdom and who He is, rebukes the Lord and says, oh, far be it from You, Lord. This will never happen to you. And Jesus rebukes him and says, get behind Me, Satan. For your thoughts and your intents and your motives is not of God. So you know what that tells me? If I hear a preacher get up and preach that you're not going to go through storms, you're not going to go through trials, you're not going to be tried by your faith, you're not going to go through battle, everything's going to be smooth, everything's going to be good. He's a false prophet. Because, come on somebody, Jesus rebuked Peter, who said, oh, you'll never be crucified, you'll never go through that, you'll never be put to death. And Jesus says, get behind Me, Satan.
Yes.
Because this is the will of the Father.
Yes.
And immediately after that, He sets Peter down, and this is what He tells all them boys that were sitting there. He says, if any man desires to follow after Me, let him deny himself. Come on, be not conformed into this world. I'm still in the text, guys. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after Me. But we come to 2019, where we have a gospel now that is all about following Him, but it's not about denying yourself and it's not about taking up your cross. And this has produced the 75 percentile that's falling by the wayside. So watch this. And be not conformed to this world, Romans 12. I got to get through this, guys. But be transformed formed by the renewing of your mind. Now let's stop right here. We got some Greek words we got to pull out here. The word transformed is to change into another form. It's the Greek word metamorpho, which means transfigured or takes place inwardly and manifests outwardly. Now I want to bring this point out. We have got to be careful as the body of Christ to be patient with new believers and new converts. I see this a lot, guys, especially on Facebook. We want to clean, let me use a country term here, okay? We want to clean the fish before we get them in the boat. Huh? We want to clean the fish before we even get them off the hook. We got to get them off the hook. We got to get them in the boat, and then we can clean them. In other words, quit trying to sanctify them. It's not your job.
Yes. Yes.
Let's win them to the Lord. Preach the gospel to them. Amen. Teach them. Be salt and be light to them. And then when they have this, when they have this experience of coming to the Lord, then you disciple them.
Yes. Yes.
So you begin to equip them and you teach them. And through that process, the Holy Spirit co-labors with us and He brings about sanctification. Okay? So, be transformed is to, again, metamorpho. Be transfigured. How do we get transformed? He tells right here, by the renewing of our minds. And the word renewing means renovation or renewing of an old mindset. And it's not a one-time event, it's a daily event.
Yes.
I love this. When I got saved and you got saved, your spirit was born again. But you still have the same mind. So, on June 2nd of 2000, when I said yes to the Lord, my spirit was reborn. And I could tell there was an inward transformation that was expressed outwardly. When I got up, people said, "How do you know you got saved?" Oh, trust me. If you'd have known the old me, and when you saw the new me, you would know immediately. I had a lot of anger issues. I was raised in a home filled with alcoholism and verbal and physical abuse and the list goes on and on and on. And that produced in me a lot of bitterness and anger. I did not like many people. I was always mad and angry. But that day when I got saved and born again, I came up off the altar. I wanted to hug everybody. I was not a huggy person. Don't touch me, dude. And church folks are real huggy, touchy people, right? They don't want handshakes. Come here, brother, give me a hug. It's like, whoa, man. I don't even know you don't hug me. That's how I used to be. But when I came off the altar, I was hugging everybody. Everybody was celebrating with me, rejoicing with me. I mean, I wanted to hug everybody. The pew. Everybody. I went outside. The grass was greener. The sky was bluer. The air was crisper. Everything was changed. Why? Because there was a transformation. But, come on. But the next morning, guess what? When I got up and that spiritual high wore off, I had the same mind. So the enemy quickly came in and tried to use my carnal mind and began to try to get me to doubt my experience, try to get me all these things. Now, what do I got to do? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, he says, number one, we can't be conformed to this culture or this world. Number two, we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do we do this? It's through the Word of God. You got to get into this. See, on June 2nd, 2000, let me rephrase this. I was born again into the family of God, but I didn't even know God. Let that sink in for a second. I became a member of, I became one of his sons, but I didn't know my Heavenly Father. And I can understand this on a natural perspective, because for 23 years of my life, I didn't even know my earthly father. I didn't know if he was alive, didn't know if he was dead. He left me when I was when I was a young age. So, again, isn't this crazy? So here I have, he's my biological father, but I didn't know him. So here I became adopted into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, but I didn't even know this God in whom has adopted me. So how was I going to get to know him?
Yes.
I had to get in his word.
Yeah.
And when you get in his word, it begins to wash and transform and renew your mind. And you, I'm telling you, now I'm 42 years old, going on 43 in January, and more than ever, I want to just consume this, digest this. If I got to turn off the television for days on end, if I got to get away and get secluded, whatever it takes, guys, I want to get this in my spirit, get this branded in my heart. David said, "Hide the word of the Lord in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We've got to become acquainted with the word. Know the word. The word has got to get in you.
Yes.
And be a part of your very fiber and your being. But notice this. The word renewing here is where we get the word renovation. How many's ever renovated a house? Watch this. 99% of the time when you renovate a home, you keep the original foundation. And you renew every... Come on, you put some new paint on it. You put some new fixtures on it. You put some new windows in it. You renovate. This is really cool, guys. Ready for this? When God saved you, He didn't destroy your personality. Some people think, well, I would come to God, but He's going to make me so dry, dead, stick in the mud, it never has any fun, woe is me, walking around. No. Listen, if you were in the world and you were a jokester and you like to cut up and you have a sense of humor, guess what? You know who gave that to you? God did. He's not telling you to get rid of it. So if you told jokes, just clean them up. Tell clean jokes. Huh? If you were a comedian for Satan, who do you think gave you those gifts? God. You're just serving the wrong master. We got musicians. We got artists. We've got actors. God doesn't want to destroy your profession. He just wants you to change, come on, producers. He wants you to change directors. Golly.
Yes. Yeah.
So, He wants to renew your mind. Because why? Because the Bible says, as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where the mind goes, the man follows. I think it was Joyce Meyer that wrote that book. Battlefield of the Mind. That was a book she wrote too. Talk about the mind. The mind battles that come against us. Okay? Now watch this. I'm almost done here. Give me about 10 minutes. Why do we need to do this? Ready? Look at this in verse 12. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Yeah. Did you see that? Good, acceptable, and perfect. Yeah. Now, hallelujah, Tony. This is something for me to rejoice. You know why? Because this is like the bumper rail. When you go bowling, you take your kids and you put the bumper rails up and the gutter rails because, you know, they can't always get the ball straight down the pins. And they throw it to the side and those gutter rails kind of direct it. The good, acceptable, perfect will. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to be in the perfect will of God. Everybody should. But there's some things it will do that may not be the perfect will of God, but at least they're good or they're acceptable. Huh? Think about that. There's some things that he's going to say, well, you know, that are good. Even the Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, I love this because we always focus on the power and the manifestations and the miracles, which is, praise God, I thank God for that. But notice it said about Jesus that not only did he raise the dead, come on, not only did he cast out the devil, not only did he heal the sick, not only did he make the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear, not only did he do these things, but he went about doing good. Oh, come on, somebody. We got a lot of Christians who want to raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out devils, but they ain't doing much good for people. Come on, they go to Walmart and they cuss people out because they can't get the first in line. They're flipping people off in traffic. I don't think that's good. It said he went about doing good. He was getting himself out of the way and helping people. He was being a good witness to people. He was putting himself aside, come on, and helping people, the humanity of him. When Lazarus died, the Bible said he stood out and he wept. He wept over Lazarus. And the Jews said, this is the man whom he loved. We always look at the divinity of Jesus, but we ignore the humanity of Jesus. Golly, guys. The world does need to see the divinity of Jesus, the power, the manifestation, the prayer. Come on, these works that I do, ye shall do, and greater works shall you do, because I go unto the Father. I'm not by any means diminishing the power of the Holy Ghost and the signs and the wonders and miracles. My goodness, even Paul said the gospel came not by word only, but by demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not diminishing that. But I'm telling you, what about the fruit? And here's the crazy thing. When Jesus gave descriptions of a false prophet, he said, he didn't say you'll know them by their demonstration. You'll know them by their signs, wonders, and miracles. No, he said you'll know them by their fruits. This is where I'm at, guys. I want to get into the presence of God, and I want to get into the secret place where, come on, I thank God for the power gifts. I thank God for the miracles and the signs. But yes, even Paul said, covet the gifts. I want those gifts operating in my life. But above all that, I want the fruit to be right. Because listen, I can preach to them, but if my family behind closed doors see that I have rotten fruit, I've lost all credibility. That's where I'm at. Am I loving my enemies? Am I praying for those who persecute me? Am I blessing those who despitefully use me? Come on, somebody. Or are we picking and choosing? Why? And this is what I see a lot too. People pick and choose who they want to come into the kingdom or who they deem worthy to come into the kingdom based on their personal preference. Well, oh, so listen to me. If you're watching by Facebook Live, because I know these folks here, but I'm going to preach to somebody watching this on live. If you despise someone by the color of their skin to come into the kingdom, you are in sin and you need to repent and you won't even make it into the kingdom. Racism has no place in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen.
I know, listen, I've heard stories of some Pentecostal preachers in West Virginia who were pastors, and they would preach, and they'd get up, and they'd have members of the Ku Klux Klan sitting on the front row trying to intimidate them. So that when black folks would come in, they would run them off. In a church. And he said, that's hard to believe. It's still going on. They may not be wearing a hood on their head, but they're still doing it. And listen, it goes both ways. I'm not picking on the white folks here, but I'm telling you, it goes both ways. I've seen. Listen, there is no segregation in heaven. Amen. There's not a black church. There's not a white church. There's not a Hispanic church. There's not a Korean church. We are all one nation, one kindred, one tongue, one. Paul said we're one body, one Lord, one faith, one spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm not impressed by, honestly, I'm not impressed by what you can perform in the kingdom. I'm impressed by your fruit. Do you love people? Do you help people? Are you doing good? Oh, I'm not going to, and I'm not talking to you guys, but I know this won't go over well for some people, but we're just going to preach on anyway. Paul said this, listen, 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul said, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Not one time. I die daily. Notice, let me go back up to the very text of which we started this. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice. You know, it's interesting. Your body is a living sacrifice. Pinch yourself. Ouch, that hurts. Yes, because you're living. You have a pulse. And we have to kill the flesh daily. Every single day. Well, I don't like my attitude. Kill it. I don't like, I have a problem with this, brother. Kill it. First of all, get in the Word. If you have a problem with lust, get in the Word. Renew your mind. Jesus said, the people who oppose honoring the kingdom, giving to the kingdom, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things should be added to. Listen, you know who the people are that oppose that? Those who have made money their God. Jesus said, where your treasure is where your heart will be also.
Yes.
But see, we misquote this all the time. Well, you know, brother, money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. I can show you in Ecclesiastes where Solomon says money answers everything. Hello? You've got to have money in this world. The Bible says, let them shout for joy and let the Lord be magnified who finds pleasure in the prosperity of His servants.
Yes, amen.
But here's the thing that I have come to realize in 19 years. The only people that oppose the sin that you preach on are those who are practicing it. Wow, what a revelation, huh? Listen, if I got up and preached on adultery, the only people that's going to get upset with me are those living in adultery.
Amen. It's true.
Well, I tell you what, you know, the attitudes of people. And that tells me they don't have a full revelation of the kingdom. Or, watch this, they haven't fully denied themselves. They're conformed to this world. Are y'all getting anything out of this today? Listen what Colossians chapter 3 says. Paul says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died. Now he's not talking about physical death here. When people say, I tell people all the time, Ricky died on June 2nd, 2000. I died. Now, I'm still dying daily in my mind, but I died then. That was the death, burial, and resurrection day for me. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Listen, I truly believe that if you're really born again and you really experience an encounter with God, you're going to remember it. You're going to, I don't need a journal for it. I don't need to write it down. You're going to remember it.
Yes. Amen.
And you're going to know it.
Amen.
It ain't none of this, well, I think I got saved. I can't remember where I was. I question that. Listen, we got a lot of false converts. We got people coming down the front and they're repeating after somebody and saying this. But the Bible says in the book of Romans that you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You can confess all day long, honey, with your mouth. But if your heart is, Jeremiah said, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Listen to the next verse. And this is Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Well, what's he talking about? He tells you. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Did y'all see that? But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Put them off. Notice there's an action. Notice there's a responsibility. See, we want to put everything on grace. Grace is going to cover it all. Listen, I'm not condemning grace. I'm not opposing grace. Thank God for grace and His amazing grace. But you have to do a part on your behalf.
Yes, amen.
He says, but now you yourselves put off these things. You put off anger. You put off wrath. You put off malice. You put off blasphemy. You put off filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, now you put on the new man. How do you put him on? By the renewing of your mind. Day after. We don't get saved every day, guys. Oh, God, I've already lost my salvation. Lord, come to my heart, save me again. We don't need to do that. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't repent. I do believe in backsliding. I'm sorry, but I do. And that's between you and God, and you'll know if you're backslid. You'll know if you've went prodigal. Listen, if you're a prodigal, you're probably not even watching this. Hello. But if you're watching this, and you have, come back to Him. He's waiting. But look, put off the old man with his deeds, and then put on, listen to this, put on the new man who is renewed, there it is, in knowledge. According to the image of who created him. So you want to know how to put on Christ? Get in his word. So it's going to take putting off and putting on. Putting off every single day. You get up, you eat breakfast, you take a shower, you get cleaned up, you put on your clothes, and you go do your job. Every single day, same scenario. Did you know, in the natural, you got to do this in the spiritual. You get up, get in the Word, get in prayer. Why? Because we are daily transformed. Yeah. All right, let's see here. I've got a lot of notes here, but I'm really feeling... Let me read this last portion of Scripture, because I feel like the Holy Spirit's just kind of telling me just to close this up, because we've made our points, and I'm going to close this right here. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This is David wrote this. Listen to this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the path of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. Now notice here, it says walks, stands, and sits. Wow. Where are you walking, where are you standing, and where are you sitting? Who are you walking, sitting, and standing with? It's going to determine where you're going. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And now what's the result of that? Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know how powerful this is, guys? Right now we're in the fall season, at least here in Indiana. I can tell you what season we're in based on beliefs. Watch this. Nature adjusts and changes upon the seasons. But David gives us a revelation of the kingdom. He said, if you're plugged into Him, and you're meditating on Him day and night in His Word, you're in His Word, you're in Him, come on, you're found in Him. It don't matter what seasons come and go, your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Oh, you got to get this. So it doesn't matter what financial hardship comes. He's still Jehovah Jireh. It doesn't matter what infirmity comes against us. He's still Jehovah Rapha. It doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter if we're in the valley. It doesn't matter if we're down. It doesn't matter if we're up. It doesn't matter if we're in the mountain. It doesn't matter if it's good or if it's bad or whatever the circumstance is, because the same God that brought me out of it will bring me through it.
Amen.
And my leaf is not going to wither. And I'm going to be watered. And you know what's going to happen as a result? Listen, God will stand you out among all the people. Because people will come to you and they'll be like, how are you not losing your joy? Almost everybody in this company has lost their job, and you just got a pink slip, and you still got that stupid smile on your face. What's wrong with you, man? And you smile and say, because my source is not this job. My source is the God of heaven.
Yes. That's true. Amen.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how in the world are you smiling and talking? Do you not realize you're in a fiery furnace and they're turning up the dial and going to fry you like some bacon? And they said, we know the God in whom we serve. Here's something powerful that somebody brought out to me the other day. I never caught this revelation. You've got to get this. No, you read it in the book of Daniel. Go read it because it's going to blow you ready. Ready? Nowhere in the scripture does it say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the fourth man in the fiery furnace. It was only Nebuchadnezzar that saw him.
Amen.
Golly. Son, I feel the Holy Ghost. You know what that tells me? We can walk in a revelation of God. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear you. Even though you may not see Him, you may not see the angels that are with you, you may not see God's providential hand working in your life, you may not see God delivering you, you may not see God preventing this happening, you may not see God at work, but I'm going to tell you, we get in a place with Him where we're rooted and grounded in Him to a place where you may not perceive it, but everybody else around you saying, my goodness, there has to be a God in heaven, because there's no way they could have come through what they went through, come out on the other side and have the testimony they got. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap today. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's just pray right now. We're going to pray right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. I thank you for this word today. I thank you for those that are watching today, listening today, those that are present, those that are watching online. God, I'm asking, Father, that we would, Lord, that this word equip them today. I pray that it puts a fire in their spirit. Lord, that the Lord deposit in them a hunger for the word of God like never before. Lord, you said that man shall not live off bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God, I pray let it start in me. God, give me a hunger for the word like I've never had before in 19 years, where I consume, I digest, I devour your word. Lord, where it becomes a part of me, Lord, to the point where there is such an utter transformation of my life that comes from inwardly and manifests outwardly that, Lord, I pray that my walk and my talk would be so evident among those on the outside that it would be like in the book of Acts when the disciples encountered the people around them, the religious people of the day, and those people on the outside said, we know that these men have to have been with Jesus because they are uneducated. They can't meet the par. They can't meet the qualifications. They should be doing what they're doing. But because they've been with Jesus, golly, they've had an encounter with Jesus to the point where it has had to have been a supernatural thing to transform them. God, I'm asking that, Father, your power and your spirit would be so evident among those that are watching online, watching among us here today, that, Father, that it would be evident to every person in their life. Lord, their husbands would be like, "Who are you? I don't recognize you anymore." Their wives would be saying, "Who are you? I don't recognize you." Their children would begin to see this. Their co-workers would begin to see this. Their family would begin to see this. Lord, that we would win people. All you said in your word, "Let our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." You said in your word about this, "All men shall know that you are my disciples for the love that we have for one another." God, if we're not walking in love, if we're not walking in obedience, if we're not walking in this, God, I pray that the Spirit of God would begin to convict people right where they sit. Lord, like a blanket of conviction, that the Spirit of God would fall on them, that they would begin to repent, that, Lord, that they would begin to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to begin to forgive them and transform them right now where they're at. And Lord, give them the strength, the grace, and the anointing to get in your word, get rooted, get grounded, and that, Lord, that they begin to walk in the word of God and begin to see. You said, "And these signs shall follow those that believe." And Lord, I thank you today, Lord, for these things and many more. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen and amen. Come on, let all God's people say amen. Listen, all you guys watching online, we want to thank you today for joining us here live via on End Time Headlines here at Cornerstone Church here in Corden, Indiana. And Pastor Tyson and Renee, I'm sure if they were here, they would be thanking you guys for joining. We're also going to share this on their Facebook page as well. As we're going to post that up there, so you guys from Cornerstone, we welcome you as well, the normal viewers that watch from Cornerstone. If you guys would like to know more information about End Time Headlines, about our ministry, there's going to be a Facebook link there. Watching, if you guys are watching by YouTube or are listening by podcast, because this is going to go out on stream, you can find more information at endtimeheadlines.org and endtimeheadlines.com. Right there is going to be where you can subscribe. And where you can also partner with our ministry. And again, we'll give you more information. If you're listening, if you're watching this and you're in the Indiana region, in Kentucky or Ohio, or anywhere in driving distance, we want to give you an invite, give you an invitation to come on out here to Cornerstone Church in Corden, Indiana. It's Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. And when is the Wednesday night services? 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. And again, we'll put that information up there as well when we post all that, so you can have that information as well. So we love you guys. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.